Please be seated. We will skip the second hymn, which is rather too bad because it sounds lovely. We could flip for it. Heads. Heads it is. Gospel reading is from the 15th chapter of Matthew, you can read along on page 797. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." Jesus answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. In our hearing, our speaking, our living. So, the eclipse tomorrow. Has this come as a surprise to any of you? NPR said that they would cover it live on the radio and then joked about how ironic that might be. You can watch it on television, you can watch it live yourselves. You can drive to see it. In fact, some folks from our church have already done that. And I've heard people describe their experiences with eclipses as life-changing. And I don't want to take anything away from that sentence. Some folks have had their lives changed by watching and experiencing that eclipse, a total eclipse. So it's got me thinking a little bit, what have been life-changing moments for you? What have been life-changing moments for you? Birth of your children?
Birth of puppies?
Meeting your wife? Some of you are going to get in trouble when you get home. Meeting my husband. What?
This sermon?
We'll see. Hold your judgment. Those are all things that I was thinking of too, getting married, having a child, meeting someone. But we went into those experiences, I think, expecting our lives would be changed. Probably not as much as they were changed, but still, we brought ourselves to that experience. And in today's two scripture readings, it seems to me that they were both about people, the woman and the brothers, and their situations where their lives were changed. And changed in a way they did not see, they really didn't expect. They didn't understand, I believe, what was about to transpire. Now, Joseph's brothers did a horrible thing to Joseph, and they had retribution coming to them. They deserved death. And yet Joseph gave them life and love and food. Joseph held on to his love for family, even though the family did him wrong. Joseph showed them grace. A little later in chapter 45, as Joseph is sending them off to bring their father Jacob back, he gave them this piece of advice. He said, "Do not quarrel among yourselves." And if you read the Joseph narrative, or if you've seen it on in dramas, as somebody told me last night, I know the Joseph story, I saw the play. You know that the brothers quarreled amongst themselves. As they were putting Joseph into the pit, they quarreled amongst themselves through the entire narrative. And I bet it was a long trip home. You tell Father, you're the oldest. Well, no, you tell him, because it wasn't my idea. No, you tell him, he likes you best. No, you tell him. Probably was a long trip. Or consider the woman from Matthew's gospel. She was persistent. She was insistent. She wanted something from Jesus, who did not want to cooperate, who did not need to cooperate, who was not going to cooperate. And no one expected Jesus to do anything for her, except her. Now, I'm sure this is the only time that Jesus treated a woman like this, because men always learn their lessons. But think about the conversation among the disciples and Jesus the night after this happened. The disciples are forever asking Jesus, "What does this mean?" I'll bet that night they didn't say anything. This wasn't one of Jesus' finest moments. Or maybe it was good. Maybe it was a good moment for him, being put in his place and having his mind stretched. I always like losing arguments in public, and I'm sure he did too. Jesus was wrong for denying this Canaanite woman. Now maybe he wanted solitude. Maybe he was tired. But he was wrong, and this unnamed woman put him in his place. On that day, Jesus did not do enough, and he was outclassed, he was outdebated. Simply put, Jesus had one thing more that day he was supposed to do. Well, we all have weeks like that. I think almost everyone I know needs to have a good eclipse. Something to change the topic from the political morass we find ourselves in. This past week was hard. Tuesday there was one TV news woman who was listening to our president live, and when he concluded, said on the air, "I'm still in the phase where I'm wondering if it was actually real life. I have too much eye makeup on to start crying right now." And that woman was on Fox. Do we cry? Or do we withdraw? Do we shake our heads or shake things up and break stuff? There's a nice op-ed piece in today's Times by a woman who said she just knew Hillary would win, so she sat back and waited for it to happen. She said she would not make that mistake again. She also said that the past 7 months have been so much worse than she could have expected or anticipated in January. She put words to my experience and did so better than I can. Between the election and now, with the exception of the Women's March, the news is something that I've taken in just in spurts. It's all been too much. We all need an eclipse. Do you want to hear a good story? It was reported last week on NPR that a woman found her mother-in-law's lost wedding ring. The woman was in her garden pulling up carrots, and she found a carrot that looked terribly odd and misshapen. She thought, well, whatever, threw it in the bucket along with all the other carrots and brought them to her house, and as she washed the carrot, she discovered the wedding ring. It had encircled the carrot. Now that's life-changing. That's a piece of good news. And I don't know what to make of this, but National Public Radio has told that same story from different parts of the world at least 4 times in the last 10 years. I think they have fact checkers. So 4 times in the last 10 years, someone has found a wedding ring around a carrot. So, should we all go out and pick carrots? Well, maybe we should all go out and plant carrots first, and then we can pick carrots. And maybe we should all go watch the eclipse tomorrow. And our lives will be changed. One of the things that Julie and I have marveled about this past 7 weeks is how many people have come helping with sanctuary. They've wanted a way to do something, and they've done something, and many of them over and over and over again. Is that enough? Well, in broad terms, no. I invite you to talk to Alice Franks if you want to be with somebody who works at this and works harder and works harder. She spends what sounds like every minute agitating for justice, calling her our congressman, doing things to try to make a difference. And yet, it is enough to spend a few hours at church helping to protect a woman from deportation and separation from her children. Heck, it's just enough to spend a few hours at church. You can play with kids. You can take a nap. You can read a book or a magazine. You can pray. Sitting down in that room, our little volunteer room, has been a time of sanctuary for anyone who wishes. So, should we withdraw or pull carrots or watch the eclipse? Sure. And then we should pray. And then we should accept the grace that is given to you and give grace in return. We should listen with respect and speak with respect. And we should keep going. Just keep going, walking with Jesus. Amen.